We're back in the Song of Songs. Can't get out of it. Don't want to get out of it. Praise the Lord. Let's go to chapter 2. And see what we have tonight from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be reading from it's a different version. Something CEV version. But anyway, it's a different version. It's just a little bit clearer in some aspects for the way we're going to look at it tonight, but I'll also look at my King James Version. So we're in chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Just open it up in this. Chapter 2, and verse 8. And the King James Version says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice or lattice." And then let's see what this version that I'm going to be sharing from says. "I hear the voice of the one I love, as he comes leaping over mountains and hills, like a deer or a gazelle. Now he stands outside our wall, looking through the window and speaking to me." And this title for this would be a call to walk in communion. And a lot of what we were sharing on in Ireland had to do with the journey of following the shepherd from hind feet on high places and walking and, you know, actually entering into a relationship of union where we can move with him and abide in oneness beyond just belief, but in action. Oneness in action, you could call it. Oneness was made for action, not just, you know, belief. And so he is beckoning her into a walk with him beyond just knowing of the union in abiding, which if you really, and Nisi probably has some good sharing on this from the Lord's heart, but abiding isn't just laying in his arms all day and believing his heart for you, although it is, you know, yes, it is. But abiding is also walking. Abiding is also running. Abiding is also bringing forth fruit. It's just a living, you could almost say abiding is a living thing. It's not a one-dimensional thing that is squared away in a little box called just, you know, whatever we call abiding. But abiding is an all-encompassing relationship of oneness that fills everything, including your feet, including your actions, and just fills you with him so that you can move. But she has been through chapter, 2, verses 1 through 8, which really have emphasized this phenomenal position of learning to abide in oneness by entering into his rest, receiving of his fullness, and that grace for grace through faith. You know, we've shared on this many times, but she was used to laboring to enter into his favor by good works, by her own efforts in the flesh, by being good enough, by doing enough, by acting sweet enough. You know, whatever it is that we feel we can do to be favorable unto the Lord, she did that in her pre-Song of Solomon days in relationship. But in chapter 1, in the first half of chapter 2, she began to enter into his way of, actually from verse 1, chapter 1 of this song, she began to enter into his relationship with her, the way he wanted her to be with him. And it was a huge breakthrough for her to leave trying to earn it all the time and enter into just his arms, his embrace, his grace that brought her into his fullness through just faith in the work of his cross. And that foundation is never gone. It is established and holds us through everything. But to stay there in that dimension of the relationship forever would eventually be stagnation, you know, because life requires activity. It brings forth movement and fruit, and, you know, something that's alive moves. It's just that simple. And when we abide long enough to get life in our branches, then there will be the activity of life as a result. It's a symptom. It's not something we do as a work in the flesh to earn something. It's just something that pops out of you, constrains you, fills you, moves you forward. And so she, you know, has enjoyed this season of abiding in this true and living union, partaking of his grace and of his life, that she needs a little bit of encouragement to come on in to the, you know, the fullness of this relationship. You know what I mean? Not that anything wasn't true or perfectly in what's come before, but there's more. It's just there's more. And so here in verse 8, it says, I hear the voice of the one I love. So she's going, man, that's the same voice that was telling me that I'm accepted in the Beloved, that of God, by the praise, to the praise of the glory of His grace, am I accepted in the Beloved. Of His fullness have I received, and that grace for grace, by faith and not by works are we saved and brought into oneness. You know, she has heard that voice declare the wonders of this new relationship that's liberated her and brought her into rest and brought her into peace and saved her from a life of just striving. But that same voice is now coming to her saying something new, not different, just new. And it is the voice of the one she loves, you know? It's his voice. It's the one she loves. But the voice is coming with something new, but it's also coming from a new location. And I have written here, the voice is now coming from a different location. No longer the banqueting chamber or the restful tree, but it's coming from a mountain. His voice is coming from a mountain. A mountain possibly meaning a place of overcoming, a place of movement, of life, of walking. And it's kind of funny because Much Afraid was being called, Much Afraid, Troubling Heart, and Pilgrim Boy were being called, the shepherd was calling them from where? The high places, yeah, up on a mountain. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, come away, in the sense of start walking, start moving on this journey towards relating to me in a new way. And I believe possibly some of that was taken from these very scriptures. Possibly, I don't know, but it could have been. Where she's hearing a voice, the one I love is he's coming, leaping over the mountains and the hills. So it's not just coming from a new location, a location that is a place of overcoming. You know, mountains are places that you have to overcome. You have to, you know, they speak of governments that only Jesus in us can overcome by his life. And he's coming from that overcoming place in resurrection, and he's not just speaking from there, sitting down on a throne. He's leaping over those mountains. In other words, the overcomer, our life, our Lord, our shepherd, our husband, whatever, you know, he is saying, look at me, I'm leaping over your mountains. Hello, you know, and you're like, I know that voice. I know that voice because I love that voice. That's the voice of my Beloved. But I've only heard it, you know, when he's holding me or when he's banqueting tables, under the tree, you know, these restful intimacy of these abiding places like this. Mm. But now it's that same voice, it's that same heart that I love, it's the same Jesus, but he's literally leaping over mountains calling my name. You know, that has to strike a little bit of fear, because, you know, the banqueting table's fun. Leaping over big mountains is scary, right? Especially if those mountains represent all your strongholds. And all the governments in you that are not Christ, and all the things you know that you can't overcome because you've failed forever, and you know, you're just sure that you can't do it. And he's leaping over those places. You know, it's almost like he's presenting to her the wonders of union. You know, she's experienced the joy of union because she's partaken of another life, and she's been filled by grace, and she's experienced rest, and you know, all these wonders. But you know, that's almost like the stillness of it, you know. But he's going, wait, there's more than just this acceptance and this peace and this complete rest and union and all. There is a power to this oneness, of this union, of this resurrection relationship that causes you to be able to leap over your high places, to leap over mountains, to overcome all those things that you couldn't do without me. So, you know, he's not just calling her, he's demonstrating to her the new relationship. He's beckoning her to just come to him. You know, that's a big moment. And, you know, I know it takes the Holy Spirit to communicate that, but you almost want to not believe it in the sense of, that's good for you. Why are you calling my name? I know you can overcome, you know, hell and the grave and the devil and the flesh, but don't call my name, you know, just give me the benefits, you know, in a church service by the laying on of hands, imparting unto me the grace to just receive a gift for the moment. Do not ask me to come to you up on a high mountain and leap with you. Hallelujah. You are stretching it, buddy.
You're pushing it.
You know, and so, you know, can you imagine if you're in a church service and the preacher's like, today we're going to do something different. The voice of the Lord is speaking to us in a new way. You know, there's no way to demonstrate this in a real church service, but today, instead of the pulpit being the place the Lord speaks to us through the preacher, and instead of everybody coming up for an altar call and lay on hands and everybody gets their measure of prayer and grace and, you know, faith for something new, the Lord himself is going to, you know, cry out your name from way up on those mountains and ask you to, everybody who has faith, to come on up to him, and you're going to leap with him, leaping over these big rocky mountains, all those things that make you fearful and afraid. You're going to go up that mountain and leap with him. Yes, everybody who wants to come up to the altar today is on top of that mountain. And if you get up there, he's not just going to lay hands on you. You're going to be leaping with him. Hallelujah. That's an altar call and a half, isn't it? You know, and I'm sure that no one would come except for the very, very serious about Jesus. But this is the kind of altar call she was getting. And that's the kind of altar call, really, Much Afraid, Trembling Hot, and Pilgrim Boy were getting. Much Afraid isn't here, but anyway. But we didn't have any boys. But anyway, we had some. But anyway, so, you know, that is a big moment. For the heart to hear that, oh my gosh, abiding is so much more than I ever bargained for. And it requires activity. Darn! You know, that can be a big darn moment. You know, we still want him to do it all for us instead of through us. Because through us requires
us.
Yeah. For us requires him. Through us requires a vessel that's willing to yield its members unto righteousness. It says that in Romans chapter 6. Yield, if you are dead with Christ, yield your members. Yield is a free will word. You don't have to yield your members to be the body of Jesus in resurrection. You can still yield your members to your own selfishness and still be one with Christ, but you're not really abiding in the fullness of that new relationship of resurrection. You're just kind of taking the benefits and still living for yourself. But Jesus is calling her as his bride, and he's saying, hey, listen, this relationship encompasses everything you are now. Everything you are now, including your walk, including all the things that you're afraid of, including everything that just you don't even want to look at because you think it's going to destroy this newfound wonder of being with me. He says, I'm not afraid of it. You're afraid of it. You don't want to think about those areas where you always fail. If I thought about those, or if I even let Jesus know about those, then he'd surely break the relationship up. You know, he'd go, okay, you're not good enough to you. You've got some real issues, woman. Yeah, I don't know. You know, when we were abiding, everything was great. But now that I know this about you and that you have these really high mountains of fear and areas of just flesh, just pure flesh, I don't think that I want to be with you anymore, you know. So she's probably, while she's laying in his arms there in verse whatever, chapter 2, verse 6 or something, she's probably going, gee, he loves me now, but if he only knew what I really have hidden inside of me that's not conformed to him, he'd drop me like a hot tamale on the floor. Bomp, you know? This is too much. But he knows. He knows everything that's not conformed to his image in us. He knows all of our fears. He knows all of our strongholds. He knows where we still have relationships with the enemy that we shouldn't have. He knows where the inhabitants are still in our land, and the strongholds of the enemy still stand strong in us. He knows everything beyond what we know, because he's God. And yet he holds us in complete acceptance, as totally one, as totally hid in Christ, completely hid in God with Christ, accepted completely in the Beloved, complete in him. My dove, my undefiled, my sister. These are words he uses early on, before any conformity has happened. he uses words of utter and complete acceptance to prove to her that her identity is based on the finished work of his cross and not her level of maturity. It's not based on how much fruit is coming out of her or how good she's doing. Her relationship with him is based on his work on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he'll speak to her in those terms from beginning to end, because that foundation is not based on how many mountains she can leap on, right? It's just based on his heart that sees her in himself, that God sees her in Christ, in Son. And so he always knew about these high places. He always knew about this flesh, about this fearful things. But instead of hiding it from his own eyes or not addressing it, you know, so she doesn't feel uncomfortable, or pretending it's not there until, you know, he is just radical in his love. He just comes out, you know, in the halfway through chapter 2, busts this big, huge move, stands right on top of everything she's afraid he's going to know about, calls out her name while he's leaping over it, and says, come on up here with me. Come on. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who's going to overcome, and now you're with me. You're me, and my life in you is going to do this. Well, that's big. But that came in the halfway point of chapter 2. I mean, this is early on stuff. He is not intimidated by her strongholds. He is not dissuaded by her governmental issues with the evil one, with things that make her crumble, things that undo her, things that she cannot overcome, things that are huge and unmovable in her eyes. He is not intimidated by. He is not dissuaded from relating to her in the fullness of what is in his heart based on his cross. He is not for a moment fazed by it. So, you know, she probably doesn't comprehend the import of such a call from such a place, right? Such a call from such a place is a declaration of God's ability to overcome everything we're afraid of by his life in us. Such a call from such a place is God's way of declaring, through me, all things are possible. Christ, you know, what is that scripture in Philippians? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Through Christ who strengtheneth me as my life. All things. And he is beginning to demonstrate, not just speak, but demonstrate before her eyes the wonder of this new relationship. And it's pretty cool, isn't it? It's not just the shepherd calling, really, is it? It's her life calling. It's her life asking her to enter into a new relationship, a walking relationship. And so, as he comes leaping over, now he's leaping, okay, but he is, all right. So we've got, I hear the voice of the one I love as he comes leaping over mountains and hills like a deer or a gazelle, okay. And I just think there is, just to take just a moment more with those, he's leaping over mountains like a deer or a gazelle. The grace and the beauty upon which a deer or a gazelle or a mountain goat, you know, can scale those high places. You know, we know the scriptures where David and Habakkuk said, he hath made my feet like hinds' feet. But just the way the grace and the beauty and the ease of such a heavenly creature just moving in the high places that we are so afraid of is truly something amazing to behold, and to consider that he's asking her to know him in such a relationship that she would move as he moves, with such ease, with such grace, with such beauty, with such effortless ability, because there's resurrection involved. His life is really, really something to think about, something to ponder when we ponder our fears. And so he's demonstrated before her eyes as his voice beckons her from his place. Look at what we can do. Look at what we can be in oneness. Look at where we can go. The sky's the limit. None of your fears and strongholds can hinder what we have now based on my life in you. But when you go to the next verse, it says, now he stands outside our wall. And it says it in the King James in verse 9 of chapter 2. It says, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. First half of the sentence. Second half says, behold, He standeth behind our wall, looking forth at the window. So you've got this creature of amazing ability, incredible agility to be able to scale the high places with ease. Down in the valley, or on the, you know, plains of her cottage, wherever she lives, standing still, this creature of action, looking through a window. She's really limited him. You see, he's having to come down to her place, stand still where she's at, and peek through a window where she lives. So, I mean, this is an incredible limitation for such a creature. Of course, he's a lamb, so he's not upset about this. I'm just saying, you know, he has so much more for her in oneness. So he's having to address her now, probably because she didn't come immediately just charge up the mountain. And sure, none of us do. Tell me someone who has, please. And I won't believe you. So anyway. My beloved is like a roar, young heart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, looking forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice or the lattice. Basically saying, let me draw you out of this limited place that you live in into this large place that is me, into this place of freedom, into this place of faith, into this place of actually moving with me, overcoming your fears, overcoming those things that you thought could never change, couldn't be moved, couldn't even be addressed, couldn't even be looked. You were scared to even think about them or even maybe pray about them because you just knew they couldn't change. It was the mountain, the immovable, strong, impenetrable thing that couldn't be pushed out of the way of knowing Jesus. You know, and he's just saying, look, what we have is so much more than that. What we have is so much greater. What we can do together, you as my vessel, me as your life, makes that look like a little tiny sandhill, the grasshoppers. Those are nothing to me, he says. To me, to you, they're terrifying. They're impossibilities. To me, they're light little leaps. Leaps, skipping, dancing. Effortlessly, nothing. But only in me can you see what I see. Only through me can you do what I do. But you have to come to my view. You have to come to my view. Not first come to my feet. We can't move first. We have to believe first. Amen. And I believe right now he's just asking her to see how he sees and to view how he views the things that she sees as impossibilities in her life. He's saying, look, this is how I see that. This is how I can be in that through you. This is the possibilities we have in that thing. Right now, just behold me as a gazelle. Behold me as a gazelle. He's not a gazelle every minute of this book, but now, behold me as a gazelle. See me as a creature that can effortlessly flow over these things because I overcome through you by my life. We were talking about suffering last night. When we suffer apart from him, it's like this huge mountain of grief and sorrow and anguish to our souls. But suffering in him is as if we're leaping through those things. By it doesn't mean we don't feel them, but there's a lightheartedness of spirit because of the eternalness of the Lamb that's captivated us and filled us with another life. It ascends where the mountains are. It goes up, 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 up it goes. As it dies on the earth, it ascends. It's a lightness to his death. There's an ascension to the nature of the Lamb, not a depression into fear and anxiety. There's an ascension up unto God in love and oneness that nothing can overcome, not death or Satan or anything. The spirit of the one we're joined to. He is, if you will, lighthearted. He ascends. He's liberated unto God. He's free. He's free. Free from what? From fear, from unbelief, from anxiety over the things that we can't overcome because we know our own weaknesses and we know the weaknesses of others. We're trapped in a very small cottage with our windows half open because we're just afraid to look at it. Amen? We're just afraid to look at it. And he says, come on, open those windows, peek out the door and watch your life leaping over those things like a gazelle. We can do this. Why are you sitting there for years in fear? Open the window. Look at my face and get some faith in your heart. Get your feet ready. Look what we can do. Amen? Look what we can do. Hear my voice and see my face and observe and behold him who is your future. In that mountain. The mountain isn't your future. The gazelle leaping over it. That's your future. Which do you believe? Faith like a mustard seed, Jesus said, can move that mountain. Faith in what? In the one who is your life. The hind that's jumping over it. That's what you're having faith in, not the mountain or your ability to move it. The one leaping over it. Faith like a mustard seed can just move us right past that obstacle into the beauty of oneness with the Lamb. It's all he needs, because he is the life. It's all he needs is our agreement, agreement, agreement. When we agree, he has the legal dominion in the earth to move in us by his Holy Spirit and eventually by his life to bring forth what we could never believe for in and of ourselves based on what we see in our circumstances and we see in other people and we see in our flesh. We're stuck in the earth in a very small room, afraid to look through the window and see that mountain that we know pushes back down into depression. He says, lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. My help cometh from the Lord, who created heaven and earth. For what? To be inhabited, to be overcome, to declare the glory of the Lord, not just by how it was created, but by how the Lord himself overcomes everything by his life in it. He overcomes everything in this earth by the Lamb in his people. And that's the greatest testimony the earth could ever bear of God, that through him we overcome all things, through Christ. And our faith is what overcomes the devil. Our faith is what overcomes this world. 1 John says that. It's our faith. Faith in what? Faith in him who is our life. Faith that he has come in the flesh. Faith that he is in us and he is able. That greater is he than he who is in the world and everything in the world. Greater is he who is in us. Greater, greater. This is the essence of his call. This is the import of this season in her life. She's knowing life now. She's entered into life now. She's tasted life now. She's plugging into life now. Life is in her. She knows the feel of it. You know what I mean? She knows the feel of it. There's new life in her branch, right? She's hungry. But I'll tell you what, that new life can drizzle up really fast when we start believing our fears above what Christ can be in us. Doesn't mean we have to leap on mountains, does it? Doesn't mean we have to leap on mountains. That didn't happen maybe until 6, 7, 8. But there's a faith that opens and keeps that channel of life flowing. The little foxes, the things that break up the vine, they're right there to hinder the new life from taking a deeper root in her. Amen? It speaks of it in the same chapter here at the end of chapter 2. So there is something there that just the Holy Spirit doesn't want to leave that portion of Scripture tonight for some, you know, quickly. He doesn't want to just hasten past it. Because there's something there for us of faith that says, Lord, I don't want this much life and then build a little hut around it because I'm afraid of the mountain outside the door. God forbid, you know, that we would stop up this wonderful union because of a mountain that he can leap over in a heartbeat. You know, if we just say, I'll abide until that life is formed, I will keep my heart with you, Lord. I will keep my heart with you. So let's see what happens next here, because there's a lot more good stuff. All right, so he's looking out through the window, and then he starts speaking to her. So I think it's good to hear what he says. Let's go to verse 10. He says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see your countenance, let me hear your voice. For sweet is your voice, and thy countenance is comely. And in this version it says, my darling, I love you. Let's go away. Winter's past, the rain has stopped, flowers covering this earth. It's time to sing. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Fig trees are bearing fruit while blossoms on grapevines fill the air with perfume. My darling, I love you. Let's go away. You are my dove hiding among the rocks on the side of a cliff. Let me see how lovely you are. Let me hear the sound of your melodious voice. Our vineyard is in blossom, but we must catch the little foxes who are trying to destroy it. And so once again, I mean, he's just saying, we have life. It is a time of life. We are in the season of life. We are no longer in that place where the mountain is Lord. We're no longer in that place where winter, death, is taking over everything. And, you know, it may not be the death of the cross here as much as the death of just the stagnation of our flesh. You know, it's there's a death that is a seed falling in the ground and dying. But there's also a death that's just stagnating flesh, that's just saying, you know, I'm going to sit here for a while. And it's winter. There's nothing moving. There's no activity of the Spirit. There's just this cold, you know, be it hot or cold. It's just the cold, the being cold, without the fire of abiding, of the word of life, you know, ignited in our spirit, and the candle lit that Jesus spoke of to the Ephesians, just that first love lit, you know, lit. It's just winter. And he says, listen, winter's over. That season of just you by yourself without me, you in your fear, in your aloneness, in your isolation, in your depression, that's done. We're together now. There's a new relationship. There's a union. There's life in you now. You have me. We're never going back. We're never going back. But let me hear. Let me see. Let us live together in this. Our vineyard is in blossom. There is fruit coming. There is new life. You've been abiding. You know it. You felt it. You've tasted it. We've handled. We've touched the word of life. That's what 1 John says. We felt it. We've tasted it. We touched it. It's the word of life. That's what he's saying. I've seen your voice. I've heard your, you know, we know it's life. This is the living thing. This is the real thing. This is the eternal God. This isn't just words and teachings and us going home empty, right? This is the living thing. We're entering into union. He's saying, come on. You know it. I know it. It's real now. It's taken. There's stuff happening inside again. It's not winter anymore. It's our time now. Don't let those little foxes destroy this vineyard that's starting to blossom, this new relationship that's starting to form. You know, be careful. Not in the sense of failing me, not in the sense of doing something wrong or missing something, but be careful of returning to your old ways, of unbelief. It's really what he shares in the New Testament is sin. Just sin has all been covered by the blood and death of Christ. You know, there's nothing that can separate us from his love that's in Christ. But it's our unbelief that turns us back into the old relationship. It's the only thing that we can really do. And so, you know, don't let those little foxes, those little fears, those views, those things that keep you back in your hut with the door shut and the windows closed, separate you from my life. From my life. We can love him with all of our hearts in the hut, right? But we can't love him as our life in the hut, because we can't walk very far with him those mornings. You know? We want to love him as our life, we're going to have to start making a trip up the mountain. Amen. And so he's saying, hey, listen, take a step of faith. I'm going to give you a token if you do. It was our Bible club. But take a step of faith. Where? Take a step of faith. Where? Outside your fears. Outside the wall of your little hut. Take a step of faith in my life in you. And I will fill your feet with my spirit. And I will, you know, so many times the faith doesn't come until the foot is put forward. The foot's put forward and then the faith follows. You know, there's an action and then a reaction of the Lord, because he doesn't violate our will. If the life came first, then where's the faith that comes from love? It's just God doing something and we react to that. Basically, apart from free will and love, it's just, you know. But if we say, I believe, therefore I'm putting forth my foot, and then he feels it because he responds to our faith, that's different, isn't it? It's different. And he says, put your foot forward and I'll feel it. And then put your foot forward again and I'll feel it. And again and again, and you'll be leaping before you know it. But come away, my love, come away, come away, come away. From what? From that way of relating to me. Come away from the old ways of looking at mountains. Come away from the old ways of thinking about yourself as separate from me. Come away from the old ways of viewing circumstances in the earth as just never going to change, never going to change. Big old mountains can't be moved. Stop it! Get your foot out. Take a step, I'll feel it. Take a step, I'll feel it. Are you waiting for me to move? It's your move. My brother shares that a lot. He says, we can wait 10 years for God to move. And he says, it's been your move for 10 years. 10 years, it's been your move. Ready to move, chess. You know, put your foot out, and then I'll move and feel it. Put your foot out, then I'll move and feel it. Because he is a lamb, and he's not going to push us out of our hut and make us take a step. That has to come from our free will. That faith has to come by love. His filling comes by grace. And it is a response to our faith, because God is love and he works by free will. So we're waiting for him to haul us out of the hut, and he's waiting for us to open the door and walk, come away to him. He's waiting for our heart to respond to what he showed us in the Spirit. He showed us that he was a gazelle. He showed us that he is the overcomer. He showed us that he is alive. He showed us that we're one with him. He showed us that it is finished. He showed us that he's accepted us. He showed us that he has nothing separating us in his heart. He showed us. It's ours to walk out of that hut and come to him. He's done everything he can do except push us out of the hut, and he can't do that because he's a lamb. He waits. And when we come, we experience resurrection. We experience maybe not the fullness of leaping over a mountain, but we get one more step closer to Christ being formed in that area. One more step where momentum builds, where value systems change, where heart, spirit, and mind is being renewed by his way of seeing and his way of living and his way of loving and his way of communing in these things. It takes steps, consistent coming away steps from the old way of seeing and relating to God and others to his way. And as we do, we're conformed into that same image. What image? He has made my feet like hinds' feet. Overcomers. And so, you know, let me hear your voice. What voice is that? Yes, I will come. Not the voice of, Lord, I'm so afraid. Please forgive me for being fleshly and, you know, for being me and for not being able to. And let me hear your voice that says, yes, Lord, I hear your call. I answer your call. I believe your call. Amen. Maranatha. Hallelujah. So be it. I'm with you. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, it is. And it will be. It is in the Spirit, and it will be in my life, because it's already true in you. Therefore, it's got to be true in my circumstances, because we're one. As it is in heaven, it's going to be in the earth. Yes, 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 yes. Faith arises. We stir it up. We lift up our heart. We lift up our voice. We let him see our face. We let him see or hear our voice. We let him know that we're with him. We let him know the door's open, the windows are open. We're outside of the house now. We're taking steps. We're believing for life to give quickening power to us by the very Spirit of Christ Jesus in us. Hallelujah. This is the gospel we preach. Do we walk in it? That's what God asks me. Do we walk in it? Mm-hmm. Well, if we don't, we want to, because it's the good stuff. It's the good stuff. You know, no fun preaching out of a little hut with a megahorn. He will give you resurrection. Don't ask me to demonstrate it. I don't want to look at the mountain here, but I'm telling you, I believe that. Except for the mountain, I don't. You know, I mean, what does it say? How beautiful on the mountains are those who preach the gospel of good news. Isaiah says that. Where are they preaching from? The mountains. They're not crying from low places. Here's the good news. The Lord has overcome sin, death, the grave, flesh, the devil, but I'm down here in the valley in fear and unbelief. Declaring the gospel. No! He wants us to be up there on the mountain of what? Conformity. The mountain of transformation. I mean, the Spirit of transformation that says, listen, I'm with him. I'm seeing from his view. I am in a place where this has been tested and proven in my life. And the Lord is able. It's good news to me. It's not just news. It's reality to me. It's not just doctrine. It is what I live by. And I declare unto you that my feet, how lovely are the feet of the preachers. Now, isn't it funny that they talk about feet when it should be talking about the mouth? How beautiful are the mouths of those who preach? You know, the mouth is the thing preaching. Why is it the feet? And why is it the feet on mountains? Because they have overcome by the life of Jesus. And they're simply declaring what they've lived. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. How lovely. They like hinds feet. They've been transformed into his nature because they've come away and they've received the good news. They've received the good news. That's why they have it in their being. When Jesus gave them the good news from the mountaintop as a hind and said, come away, you know what those preachers said? Amen, I'm coming, Lord. And they came and they were changed. And now they stand up there in that place of conformity, of overcoming by the life of Jesus. And their feet are beautiful, their hind feet. They're his feet. They've been changed in their walk. They've been changed. They've overcome in their walk by the life of Jesus in them. And now they declare what they've experienced. They are the living epistles of this gospel. And therefore, it is truly good news. And you can believe it because they are the living testimony of it. Amen? That's what God wants for us, to be living epistles, to have beautiful feet, to have a walk based on his life in us, to not be afraid of our areas that seem so big to us but so small to him if we just let him show us how little it is in his eyes. It says nothing. It says bread, grasshoppers.
One of my favorite verses in Ecclesiastes is the chapter where it says time to laugh, time to cry, time to mourn. One of them is a time to throw stones and a time to gather them. And when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness, because we look so stupid sometimes to ourselves, to the world. We're like, okay, the Lord's telling me to throw these stones, so we throw them. People are like, why is she throwing the stones? But then once we start picking them back up again just to throw them, people are like, okay, what are they doing? You know, and we can say, Lord, why are you having me do this? This is so redundant. Like, there's no point in me doing this, you know, but that's, if the Lord's calling us to do that, and like you said, just keep moving forward, not looking back, not looking that I've picked up these stones 50 times, and he just keeps telling me to throw them, like, you know.
And that was part of the, you just have to forgive me now, because God only knows how long I'm recording those skits that we did.
They're, like, in there.
But, there comes a point where, the three travelers are at the foot of the mountain, and it's like, so, how are you going to take us to high places? Are we going to fly there? And he's like, no, you're going to walk. And they're like, excuse me? And they're like, the three characters ask the shepherd, can't you just stay down here with us? It's a lot less scary here in the low and dark places when you're here. And he's like, but this isn't where I live. I want to take you where I live. I want to take you to dwell in me. And so you have to walk there. And, like, that's kind of rough. But, like, when I was putting together the, like, the script versions of Kelly's explanations, like, and I got to that part where they're at the foot of the mountain, and I was thinking, like, what would we say to Jesus if he said, you have to go to high places, and our options are, you know, like, don't go with him or go with him, you know? And it struck me that we would want to keep him where we are, you know? We would want to keep him just making us feel better. But, like, it's like trying to make another human being make you feel better. It's a temporary fix. Just, like, calm down. Calm down, calm down. Like, eventually it's going to rear its head again. He wants to free you from it. But the only way to do that is to come away with him. Like, he can come peek his head in your window and make you feel better and make you feel loved and remind you that he's there. Like, he can do that every day for a real long time. And he will, too, because he loves us. But, like, to really be with him and really be free of our constraints, we have to go with him.
I think in my head I'm so ready all the time to just settle for that, to just settle for, like, just seeing him now and again at the fence behind the wall. And I'm ready to settle for that, but, you know, that's not what his heart is for any of us. And, you know, even in life, we're always told, oh, we'll just get the good life and do this or do that. And, you know, in a sense, seeing the Lord and just, like, different spurts like that and not really going after him, it's the good life. I mean, you can say you're a Christian, you can say you're religious, you can say your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven. It's a good life.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But he has called us into eternal life. He
That's
has
right.
called us into abundant life.
Hallelujah.
Mm. In those high places.
Amen.
And that is such a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, continually, just like when those thoughts of the good life come up, I'm just like, I'm ready for the good life. I love it. But then he reminds me, he's just like, do you realize then that, you know, I've called you somewhere else, okay? Called you. And that's when my spirit gets me in check, and it's just like, okay, this abundant life is so much better than this good life that the world presents us with.
Yeah.
Of religion and do's and don'ts and heaven and hell and all of that.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think our age has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah.
Like
one thing I was thinking, it always just catches my eye, Evangeline, my middle daughter, she skips a lot. She just needs a drink. She's going down the hall skipping. She goes places. She's skipping. She skips a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's noticeable to me because Abigail doesn't do that. I obviously don't do that. But in just thinking about skipping and that's one of the two things, leaping and skipping, we never attribute those actions to climbing the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Or him, like, it's hard work, it's
mm-hmm.
be prepared, it's deal with altitude changes, it's, you
mm-hmm.
know, strengthen yourself. Like, we don't equate those actions
mm-hmm.
with those locations.
Mm-hmm.
And just the skipping, you know, Evangeline, she's just happy.
Mm-hmm.
She's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, oh, I've got to go down the hall and get this or whatever. Abigail actually does that sometimes. Like, oh, I don't want to go back over to the shop. And it's just like, wow. Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Evangeline, she's just skipping a lot. And skipping, I don't know when the last time you have skipped, but it's something you do for fun.
Mm-hmm.
It can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're all, I think, old enough to go. It is.
We need to skip later.
So, yeah, I mean, skipping and leaping are things that you do for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're happy, and it's not work.
That's
it's
right.
It's not hard.
That's really it's, good.
And so,
that's right.
just the very action
mm-hmm.
of how he is relating even to the mountains and things is one of, like,
good.
It's nothing to
mm-hmm.
him. You know, it's not that I've got it, I'm strong enough, I've dealt with it. It's as nothing to him, and that's the viewpoint that he wants us to come into. Not just,
good.
I can conquer this, I can
right.
get over this struggle, I can, you know, deal with this and everything. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a totally different mindset when you're skipping on something, and to the point that sometimes you would feel foolish. I mean, I've skipped in the parking lot going into a grocery store because she wants to skip. And, you know, like, try it. Seriously, soon. Try skipping. Like, it's not your normal thing you do. You're like, no, I gotta do this, you know. And if the Lord is doing that, and that's the way he is
that's right.
viewing these things that seem so insurmountable to us, we need to recognize it's not just that he wants us to get past things and to get over things and to get through
that's
things.
Right.
It's that
Amen.
They are as nothing.
The transcendency.
It's
yeah.
a completely different place of living.
Yes.
And
Amen.
What seems so difficult, because we all have things that are so difficult, he is showing us how much higher and how much different he is in relation to those things, and that's what he's calling us into, not just to tough it out, not just to be stronger, because he's not asking us to go mountain climbing.
No, that's right.
He's not, and if you think about everything that is involved in mountain climbing, recognize that in the spirit, he is not asking us to do that.
Yeah, he's not asking you to do that.
No. And so...
when mountain climbing is dangerous.
Yeah.
Also, and that's not...
and there's no fear. If you are skipping, you are not in fear.
That's right. That's important, though.
It's dangerous.
It's more important important than you might think.
Yeah, it really is.
And so, just the fact that the real essence... Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, go skip.
No, there's no
fear. Real soon, this week.
Dangerous.
And see how you feel in relation to doing that. And you'd be like, what the heck am I doing? You know?
Declare we're skipping.
Because you are in a totally different place than you're normal. And that's what the Lord's asking us to come into and come, you know.
That's
He's
so
not
good.
Asking us in our strength to conquer these
things. That's right.
He is asking us to come to the way He lives and He abides, which is just, man, I'm not even thinking about this because I'm just skipping over it. I don't have to give it a thought like a mountain climber has to give a lot of thought and attention to. He's like, don't give it thought and attention. That's not what you need to be doing. You need to be with me, not with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's no examining the mountain. Yeah,
right. You're right there in those cliffs. You're in the rock. You're in the mountains. And so, you know, we haven't come that way. We try to conquer.
A mountain goat isn't thinking as it's leaping.
It's not like
where's the next foothold? It's just natural. Yeah.
Have you seen pictures of those creatures? They're crazy amazing.
They stand on like a little shelf.
It's amazing.
It doesn't even look like there's a shelf there. But they're like.
So it's steps coming away an open heart to him, but at the same time it's not the kind of step that we think it is, you know, coming away.
It's effortless by him.
Mm-hmm. And instinctive, for that matter.
Praise God. You know, I think probably the first steps she took out of the cottage were pretty labored, but there was enough faith in her that she could be with him in his nature that she was able to take it, even if she had to pick up her foot and say, okay, I'm going to put my foot down. Now you fill it with a little bit of hind feet, you know. But I don't think that if she's waiting for some kind of a faith thing to fill her like a hind, the first step out of the cottage, she's never going to get out of that cottage. It never going to happen.
Yeah.
She has got to go. There's something in us.
It's in your heart that is that thing.
Sometimes you just need a good kick in the butt. Just like, come on, get out of this. Have you ever been in a rut where you just can't get out of it? And the Lord sometimes just has to say, you know, come on, get out of that rut. I am not... You've got to break with this view. I mean, sometimes the Lord uses some powerful things to give us that push out the door. Some crises can happen in our lives, and the Lord is saying, you know, you're not responding to my voice. I'm not trying to be a downer here, but what's it going to take? What's it going to take to move you from this? And I think the Lord is gracious, but I think at times He'll increase it. It won't be a voice. Sometimes there will be crisis in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Read the book of Revelation. Crisis in the earth to get you up with Him. And, you know, I think He starts with the voice. But I just believe there's times where He, in the scriptures, it loves us enough to give us a little kick in the pants through circumstances in the earth if we don't respond with our heart. I believe that. And and I don't believe that first step out is full of hind feet. I believe it's full of a faith that it can be. And that each step, there's more increase. Because abiding is, you know, that... You're not an oak tree with the first grasp. You've got the beginning seed of the oak trickling in, and then it grows, and then it forms, and then it flourishes, and then it brings forth. The same with learning to walk. You're not a marathon runner because you take a step. You're beginning. And it's just what was taught with the Revelation class. The ending is in the beginning. That the beginning is the seed, the ending is a mountain. Let the seed of faith be planted like a mustard seed. and you will move the mountain if you continue in my word. You will be made free. But if we're waiting for something to happen before we can get out of there, I just think we'll be waiting forever. We've got to pick up the foot with no feeling, with, you know, deformities and gravities and paralysis, and we go, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And little by little, life starts flowing in. I really believe that. I really do. And yeah, you're not going to skip out of that cottage. You're gonna step out of that cottage. But by the time you get up, that agility will be increasing with each step. And by the time you get up closer to the top, you'll start skipping. But in the beginning, I think you're doing this. Come on, much afraid.
You're coming.
You're coming. And you're saying, I'm coming. If they have to lower me through the roof, if they have to hike me up that mountain, I'm coming. But little by little, that life starts quickening you as you keep abiding. And all of a sudden, whew. But it's a process. It's a process. And I think it's important, because if we think it's something it's not, we never go. We never move. We never take a step. We wait. Once again, we wait for some miraculous skipping motion of a high place, hind feet, to get us out the door.
Yeah.
And you know, I think when you come out that door, you're kicking yourself up by your bootstraps and saying, in the name of Jesus, we're going to go. Mm-hmm. We're going to go, and we're going to believe that he's going to carry us. If we take our step, he'll give us his life. Mm-hmm. And as you continue in your faith, and in his word of life, you will be transformed into his image, and you'll start skipping. But I just don't believe it's that way at first. I mean, that could be wrong, but I just believe that's why we are here. We are here to spark each other's faith, to say, let's take those steps. It's not easy right now. We may not feel anything yet. We may not, at this juncture, be able to really move with agility or joy, but we can move with faith, and we can respond. And if we do that, we'll look at each other a couple months down the road, and we'll be leaping, and we'll be skipping, and we'll be thanking God that we said yes when it wasn't easy and we had no evidence in the earth yet. You know what I mean? But we had faith, and we had his voice. And I just feel that that's why we gather, is to stir up one another's most holy faith, to stir it up and to edify one another, you know, and because we can just sit around in our cottages all day and, you know, just chat and have tea. But we're called to the high places. We're called to eternal oneness with the Lamb in his realm of glory. And so I don't know. I just feel like the Spirit of the Lord's been in everybody's comments so deeply. And, you know, I think that everyone here has ministered to me with their comments. There's been a very special part of the Lord's heart in each comment. And I think for some of us, we're going to hear specifics for where we're at from the Lord in a certain measure, in a certain portion, and that's what we need to hold to. What's the Spirit saying to me, you know? And don't let it go, and we'll be transformed. We will be changed. We will be liberated. And I love the word liberated, because we are just bound in our cottages. We are in chains down there, and God doesn't want us in that kind of bondage. He doesn't want us in that kind. He wants us as love slaves, but he doesn't want us bound in fears and trapped in the things that we just can't overcome, you know, as the prisoners of our own flesh and weaknesses. Amen. So, does anyone have anything? Does anyone just want to pray to take a step of faith? I mean, this is a core group. So we just take a step of faith, instead of praying about it. And maybe the Holy Spirit in specific time will speak into our hearts in our relationship with him in a more intimate, personal way. But Father, we just I just desperately need you in this way, Lord. I forgive me, Father, for speaking anything as if I knew anything. I do ask your forgiveness. I just you know how far I am from your image, you know. How deeply I truly need you. And Lord, I just want to be faithful to the Holy Spirit, who is not any of us. It's the third person of the Godhead, and he represents your heart here. And Lord, if you're calling us to just look outside of ourselves and our fears and our views into what you have seen concerning us in you, and the way life can be, the way your Spirit can be in us, what can be our future in Christ Jesus. In the areas that we dread to even look upon, Father, that there is nothing to you. Like Nisi says, it's effortless. joyful thing by your life. So different. Father, if it's just to look out the window for some and just be open to a new view that is yours, help us. Father, if it's to open the door and just pick up the foot and just pick it up and say, yes, Lord, without any evidence of life yet, but yes, Lord. Father, give us grace for that. Just the witness of your Spirit that we can know it's you we're responding to by faith and love. And Father, if it's for some to just, they're halfway up the mountain and it's still not quite as it should be, and Lord, that there would just be your Holy Spirit just lifting up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, to the one who is our help. And Lord, what you can impart into us of your view, of your future, of your hope, is beyond anything words could ever share, Lord. That's why we're one with you, so we can hear it straight through oneness. So, Father, by your Spirit, by your voice, by your witness in each heart, by the anointing that is in each one of us, speak to us. We might hear your call specifically, intimately, directly, that we might hear your call. And by your Spirit within us, Lord, and by our hearts, through faith, respond. And Lord, if we're not ready yet, if it's just too much for us at this point, we ask you to continue to woo us and betroth us and show us how it really is in you, that we might just soak in that view until we're ready to step into it in our circumstances. Just thank you for Deb's comment that there is just no condemnation. There is a complete acceptance that we already are in the high places because we are raised up together and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we are there already. It's already finished and secure in your heart. This call is just that we could walk in the beauty of it, of what's already ours. So Lord, if there's anyone dealing with any sense of condemnation or separation or having to earn something of your love or relationship, just let that dissipate as they see what's really true in your heart and in our place in Christ. And Lord, let us not go become so abiding in that that we don't walk, Father. But let that motivate us to walk, not to earn, but to be with you, just to be with you as we really are. Lord, these things are your Spirit's work, not ours. We commend them to your grace. Let each person who shared, Father, just let those words that were sent forth be like seeds in our hearts. Thank you for your bride, each one, bringing your heart to us tonight, Lord, for gathering us back together, for just allowing us to be together this time. It's precious to us, and we love you. And we just pray this in Jesus' name.
He is the vine, we are his branches. He is the vine, we are your branches. You are the vine, we are your branches. Let's love him right now, right now.
You are the lily.
Right now.